Learning about Melach, the pasuk says, and it's a very interesting pasuk that we got over here. The pasuk says the following thing: V'chol karbon minchascha b'melach timlach. All of the karbonos of your mincha b'melach timlach, they should have melach on them. You should salt them, salt them. I didn't see anyone speak about why it says the double lashon of salting your karbonos, but karbonos have to be salted. And a person should not give up on this special bris of the melach. So there's lots of mention over here of having the melach, mentioning it like three times in the same pasuk. A mention of having melach, of having salt at your on your carbon. So we're going to discuss today a little bit about the idea of salt on a carbon, but we're also going to discuss how it's relevant to us in our day-to-day life. Fascinating things, my friend. But we'll start like this. There's a tshuva from Rav Yaakov Chagiz. Rav Yaakov Chagiz, in a sefer called Halachos Kitanois, writes something fascinating. He writes that you can, when a person has to be moilech a carbon, as we spoke about this over here, it doesn't have to, if he doesn't can't find regular salt, so he could use instead of it sukkar. Who would have thought? He says sugar is a granule. It's just like salt. And just because one is sweet and the other is I don't know what the word is, salty. And the other one's salty. But doesn't make a difference. They're really the same thing. And he says it's really no difference if you use salt or you use sugar. And he says this not only binogea to on a carbon, he speaks about also, for example, there's a discussion here about what about using sugar to salt your carbon. Salt your I'm sorry, not your carbon, your meats. It's halacha when a person shechs meat, the meat has to be salted. So he discusses possibly sugar also being good for that. It's fascinating that he suggests that it's really the same thing. It's granules that are used to be put onto food. And he says, don't be surprised over the fact that one is sweet and the other one is salty, because we find this type of phenomenon. As a matter of fact, he says the following thing. He says that if you look at the sugar cane that they brought from Mitzrayim, so by the root of the sugar, it was salty. And also by the head, only in the middle was it actually sweet. He says that we find this phenomenon lots of places. For example, a snake. It's an interesting example. He says, we know that the head of the snake and the tail of the snake, both of them are poisonous. However, the middle, the body of the snake, he says, not only is it not poisonous, but it has medicinal use. It can be used as healing purposes. And also, it's actually apparently very tasty. Now, obviously, we know it's not kosher, but someone shouldn't eat it in any way. We've had enough with people eating bats. You don't have to eat in other bizarre things. But the point is that he says that you find this phenomenon that there are things that are, they're sweet in the middle and then they're salty on the outside. He says it's also the same thing by squash and by pumpkin and other things like that. So therefore, he says that the same thing, sugar, salt, the fact that one's sweet and one's salty doesn't really make a difference. That's what he says. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the different reasons that are being given why we put salt on a carbon, so then perhaps we would suggest that the reason to make sense. What does it say over here? Let's take a look. Well, the reason the Ramban brings, in the shame of the Rambam, which is fascinating, is the Ramban says that why does Hashem Dafka want salt? He says because the minig of those that brought karbanos to Avodah Zarah is that what they would do, would they would always have chametz, and they would have dvash, and they loathed salt. Avodah Zarah loathed salt for some sort of reason. So therefore, we dafka want to put salt on to show that this is not like the Avodah Zarah. It's the antithesis of Avodah Zarah. So if you ask me, my own personal opinion, I would assume that part of the reasons why Avodah Zarah likes honey, maybe I'm wrong, but honey is something that like it sweetens. So therefore, they're looking to like sweeten the deal. Like, you know, Avodah Zarah are always basically like, you know, working. They're trying to go easy street. We'll say it that way. So I would assume that sugar would be also similar, and salt. It would be more about the what salt does. But I don't know. That's what I would have said. That's what the Ramban brings from the Rambam. The Ramban himself says a different pshat, which is also the Ibn Ezra, and he says that the pshat is because if a person doesn't have salt in food, so it doesn't have the right taste to it. All food needs to have salt in it. So therefore, meat needs to have salt, bread needs to have salt. So the Ramban says, therefore, you can't have, you can't put a carbon on the Beis HaMikdash if it's not going to be, you know, tasty. So therefore, it has to have salt. There, I'm quite confident that svara, at least, would not necessarily apply when it comes to sugar, because you don't put sugar on meat. I don't think that's not the normal thing to put sugar on meat. The last reason we're going to give is from the B'nai Yisaschar. And the reason, and we're giving these reasons, and I think that these reasons are going to make a big difference. The B'nai Yisaschar says that there are four different categories of creations. There's something called a doimim. A doimim is something that's just, it stays still. It's solid. It doesn't move. A tzemeach is something that grows. A chai is something that's alive. And a medaber is something that speaks. So all these four, those are the four madregas of things that Hashem created. And says the B'nai Yisaschar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted all of them in our carbon. So therefore, for example, how do we have a medaber and a carbon? Well, it's very simple, because the person that's bringing the carbon is a medaber. How do you have a chai? Well, the carbon itself is a chai. How do you have a tzoymeach, something that grows? The answer is that the wood that we burn the carbon with, that is something that grows. So therefore, the only thing we're missing is a doimim. So in order for us to be able to get a doimim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds another ingredient. The ingredient is salt. And now we have all the components of the bria are there in our carbon. That's another reason why we would have. So now, interesting is, I don't know if sugar is considered a tzoymeach or a doimim. I would have to assume that sugar is a tzoymeach. A sugar cane grows. You grow sugar as opposed to salt. Salt doesn't grow. All the salt that ever was is at the same time. The salt, at least in mountains, salt of the sea is also there. It's just water, basically. There's no salt doesn't grow. So therefore, I don't know if you can consider sugar as part of in the realm of a doimim, the same way salt is. Al-Kopanim, these reasons might affect whether or not sugar can be used in the place of salt. Halacha l'maisa, most people do not accept the idea of using sugar, but if a person doesn't have anything else, I would definitely tell you that instead of just eating it plain, perhaps you should dip it into sugar. Now, it's interesting. We're going to get into the lumdus now, my friends. Now we're going to be lumdus. Here goes. Rav Moshe Weiss, in a Sefer Minchas Asher, declares the following chakira. Listen to this chakira. He asks, what is the pshat that we have to have salt on our korban? Is the pshat we have salt on our korban that this is the melicha is machshir the korban? I'll give you an example. Okay, just like when a person has a meat, in order to eat the meat, you have to salt it. So over here also, would you say that the reason salting is in order to be machshir the korban, and it's there in order to prepare the korban for akreva? Or would you say that the salt itself is being nikrav, you're being makrid of the salt? Is that the salt part of the hakrava? This is the shayla. He clears this hakira. He brings the lashon of the pasuk, al kol karboncha takriv melach. Takriv melach sounds like the hakrava is the melach itself. The melach is part of the karbon. As a matter of fact, I saw brought down something peladic that's brought from some of the recent achronim that they understand you can actually bring a karbon melach. There's such a thing as a karbon melach, and they declare on a karbon melach, do you have to add melach? It's interesting, Shiloh. It's kuloi melach. It sounds like the question of Kairach, where he asked if you have a begit shekuloi tcheles, does it need to have one of the strings have to be tcheles? If you bring a karbon of melach, you can have there's such a thing as a carbon of melach. So they say if you bring a carbon, so al carbon chatakir of melach. It sounds like the melach is the carbon, or maybe not. The melach is only in order. The salt is only to prepare that the carbon that it should be ready. The lashon of the Rambam, on the other hand, sounds like in other places in Yad, sounds like it's not really a part of it. That he says. Mitzvahs, the Rambam says, in Protea Mitzvahs and in Yad, many different places, Limloich Kol HaKarbonis. Mitzvahs is saying, Limloich Kol HaKarbonis Kodem Shi'al HaMizbeach. Sounds like the mitzvah is not that the melech is part of the korban, but limlo et kol korbanos. This is the shaila. What's interesting is as follows. The Rambam writes a question. What happens if you don't put melech, you don't put salt on your korban? Is the korban kosher or is the korban pasul? Writes the Rambam, it depends which type of korban. Is it a korban mincha or is it a korban that's a behema? Listen to the interesting thing, says the Rambam. He writes that hikriv b'loy melach klal. A person is makriv a korban without any salt. He's loike gets malka shenemer l'sashpis melach bris elokecha. The Mepharshim speak about, is this called a lav sheyesh boy ma'isa, a lav she'ein boy ma'isa, because you were makriv the korban without putting on melach. So you didn't put melach on. So on the one hand, that's ein boy ma'isa, but you were makriv the korban. So it's not clear, is this called, but the Rambam says you get malchus. He says, afa pisha loike ha-karban kosher umirutza. Even though you don't have salt on your karban, the karban is kosher. However, the Rambam continues, chutz min ha-mincha, she-ha-melach me'akev b'kemitza, she-nemer lo sashbis bris, melach bris elokecha me'al minchascha. The Rambam writes that mincha, which is the flour korban, is different than all the behema korbans. The flour korban, it's ma'akev the melach, and the other korbanos, the melach, the salt is not ma'akev. And the mefarshim speak about why would there be a difference between this type of korban and that type of korban. And there's different pshatim that the mefarshim come with. Says Rav Asher Weiss, a beautiful pshat. He wants to say there's tzvei dinim, two dinim of melach. One din of melach, the pasuk, one din of melach, the din of the melach of the other karbonus is you have to be makriv melach. The din of the melach on the mincha is that it has to be machshir the mincha as a karbon. And because these are two separate dinim, so therefore they have two different repercussions when it comes to the other, the regular karbonus. So the din to be makriv the melach. Okay, but I wasn't makriv the melach. Everything else, I was makriv. So everything else is kosher. I just am lacking, I'm missing in the melach. However, if you tell me that the melach, the salt is there to be machshir the korban, to create that the korban is ready for hakrava, then without the melach, you can't be makriv the korban. And therefore, it's going to be pasuk. And he says that that's mashmin the pasuk. Listen to the language of the pasuk. It's beautiful, my friends. The pasuk says, v'chol korban minchoscha v'melach timlach. Every korban minchoscha v'melach timlach, it has to have melach. So when it speaks about the korban mincha, it mentions b'melach timloch. It sounds like that's being machshir the mincha. But when it comes to al kor korbancha, all the other korbanos, it seems to say takriv melach. There, it's a part of the hakrav. Okay.
Reuben,
Scooby, are we going?
It's mayhem.
Mayor,
there's
you
Solomon.
Hi, it's Rosh Hashiva, not in my apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Shubi.
What just happened?
Everyone just got unmuted.
But AY Sheva brought us now.
Lee Bergstein.
Hey, Freddy.
You can hear me?
Yes, I do.
You hear the whole spirit of the show?
Not heard. I hear everyone.
Okay. I'm going to mute everyone right now.
Got it.
Wait, please not do. Yet. Not yet. Let me say hi. Hi, everybody.
Thanks,
I'm
Ruben.
Getting everyone out so we can get, I hope I thought you guys heard me. Okay, everyone's muted. I'm sorry. I was saying the whole shear. I guess you didn't hear me the whole time. I guess you guys didn't hear me. I'm trying to figure this out.
And we heard you. We heard you.
You heard me the whole time?
Yeah, I just got muted all of a sudden.
We hear you.
Okay, good. We hear you.
Okay, you hear me? Shimmy wave if you hear me. Okay, great. So let's finish this off, my friends. We got a lot more to do over here because there's a lot of interesting stuff. So I wanted to suggest the following thing. Listen to this. So we have just two gdarim. There's two different categories. A mincha has a din melach, and on the melach of a mincha, we're saying is to be machshir the karbon, as opposed to all the other karbon. This is just a chelik of that kreva. Another thing you're makriv is the melach. And I was thinking maybe it might depend on the reasons that we're giving for why you have melach. For example, the reason of the Bnei Yisachar says we want to have all the different types of categories of creations. That reason is sufficient when we're talking about a korban that has a behema, because then it has a chai. And we want to add the doimim. So that's now you're being makriv the doimim together with the chai. You have the tzemeach, the medaber, you got all that there. So as opposed to when it comes to a mincha, which anyway doesn't have a chai. There's no chai in a mincha. A mincha is just flour and water. There's no chai there. So you can't say the reason why we're having the melach is because we want to have all of the different components of the bria. It doesn't exist. Elamai, let's go back to the reason of the Rambam. The Rambam says that the goyim, the Avodah Zarah, always had chametz. Chametz is flour. That means we're talking about their mincha. So the Rambam is saying in their mincha, they always had chametz. We want our mincha not to have chametz and to have salt because they didn't have salt. That's only when you're dealing with a mincha. But when the goyim would bring an animal as a korban, for sure it wasn't chametz, it's an animal. So the Rambam's reason is a reason when it comes to mincha. And the Bnei Yisachar's reason is a reason when it comes to behema. And Achanami is two different reasons because there's two dinim. The din of the mincha is that you have to have melach there. And there it's we're saying what the gedra of the din is. The gedra of this din is that we're trying to be machshir the korban. In other words, I don't want this to look like an Avodah Zarah korban. So I'm putting melach on here to make a statement. This is not like Avodah Zarah. So therefore, it's being machshir. And without that, it's taka going to be puzzle. That people shouldn't confuse our korbanos with the korbanos of the koyim. As opposed to benageya to a regular korban, when we're bringing an animal, over there we want to include all the components of the bria in the korban. If you can't, okay, you bring as much as you can bring in order to be makriv. That could be perhaps a chiluk in these different ideas. I'd like to share with you a little bit more over here. Listen to these fascinating things. Benageya to halach lamaisa, benageya to us. The Rama brings as a mitzvah to place on the shulchan melach before he makes his boitzeya, before he breaks the bread, because the shulchan is doimel mezbeach. We're supposed to have salt on the table, and achila is like a carbon. People make a mistake. I was trying to research it a little bit, and a lot of people make this mistake to think that this is like a Shabbos thing. It's only on Shabbos. In Achanami, the Arizal says that there's an inyan to have melach on your table on Shabbos. We'll try to discuss that a little bit. But this is a halacha that's brought anytime. The Rama brings mitzvah laniach al kol shulchan melach because the shulchan is daima lamizbeach. What's interesting is that the Tosfos in Brachos brings a reason. He brings another reason. And the reason the Tosfos in Brachos brings is because he says that when people are sitting at a shulchan and they're waiting they, for other people to wash, now they have no mitzvahs because they can't talk. They can't talk and learn. They can't anything. So they're below mitzvahs. And that time the sultan can be mekatrek, and the sultan can come and say, look at this person. He's not doing anything with his life. So therefore we have the bris melach. We have salt that is mogain that protects us. So therefore, according to this reason of the Tosfos, you should have the salt on the table before you make mitzi. Some people, they make mitzi, they wash their hands, and then someone brings the salt afterwards. The salt should be on the table. That's the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. He says there should be salt on the table b'shas koidem sheyivta, before he's actually boitzeya. I'll call panim, but part of the reason is, as we mentioned before, it seems to be we're saying two different reasons. One is the sultan should be able, because we're worried about someone attacking us or mekatreg, worrying about mazikin. The other reason is because we mentioned I'll call karban chatak with melach, and a person who is eating at the table is like he's bringing a karban. What's interesting is as follows. The interesting is the meaning of the Chassam Sofer. The meaning of the Chassam Sofer was that he would not have salt on his table on Friday night. The Chassam Sofer, now it's interesting. I spoke with an Enoch of the Chassam Sofer. It seems to be unclear whether he had salt on the table and just didn't dip, or he didn't have salt. Some people say that the minigan preshberg was to have salt and not dip, and other people, the grandchildren, they don't actually have, well, some do, some don't have salt on the table. What was the reason why he wouldn't have salt on the table? Chassam Sofer said the following reason. The reason why we have salt is because of al kol karbon chatakriv melach. And we said eating on the Shabbos table is like you're eating like from the shulchan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like a karbon, because this is like our karbonos. Well, Friday night, there was no haktaras on Mizbeach. And Friday night, there was no hektar avarim, so therefore, it's like there is no karbon on Friday night. Therefore, there's no reason why you should be putting salt on your bread, because it's not like you're eating a karbon, or at least symbolically. Akoponim, it's brought in the Ha'aris there on the Minhag Chassam Sofer, right? So this is only if you're going according to the reason that says it's because of, it's only if you're going according to the reason that it says it's because of because the Shulchan Dami LaMizbeach, HaKol Karbon Chatakriv Melach. However, if you're going according to the reason that said that it's the melach is somehow protecting you, then you should have melach. So I'm suggesting maybe that's the reason why some people say the Chassam Sofer had the salt on the table and just wouldn't dip, because the salt is there to be megin. There's two reasons why to have salt, the Chassam Sofer held. One reason is because I'll call karbon chatakriv melach, so I don't have to put the salt on my bread, but I should have the salt there. Other reason to protect me for the mazikin. What's negated to us now, and maybe it's kedai to remember, I'm not telling you should do this, but just to remember, it's a nice thing to talk about on the Seder night, is that the Trumas Hadeshen, it's brought down, did not dip his matzah into salt. The Leket Yoisha brings down the Trumas Hadeshen, which did not dip his matzah into salt. Why not? It's not because of matzah, but he says that the Leil of the Seder, at least the Leil of Seder, the Leil of the Seder is called Leil Shimurim. Leil Shimurim Hashem means the Kodesh Baruch Hu protects us on this night. This is a night of protection, therefore you can leave the door open, we open the door, we don't have to, certain parts of Shema you don't have to say, because Hashem's protecting us on this night. So apparently the Trumas Hadeshen held that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting us. We don't have to worry about the Satan Nima Katre. So therefore, even though we're not making, we washed and we're not talking. So we said before, one of the reasons why he wants salt on the table is in order to make sure that the Satan is not going to somehow be Makatrig against us. The night of the Seder is Leil Shimurim LaHashem. The night of the Seder, we have protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, there's nothing to worry about. Okay, what I want to share with you, interesting, is certain minhagim that we have concerning salt. So one of the minhagim that they have, the Kaf HaChaim brings down, is that there's a mitzvah that women should bring the salt to the table. Why is it? It goes back to Eishes Loit. Eishes Loit, that she did not have salt in the house, and she didn't want to bring salt to the table, and that's why she turned into a pillar of salt. And therefore, because of the salt, therefore we want a woman to bring salt. It's interesting that this idea of salt has a very strong place, actually, in a relationship between a husband and wife. As a matter of fact, there's a skula brought in the Sefer Oikeach that they should throw salt on the Chasen Kala. That's a skula. It says that they should throw salt on the Chasen Kala because of bris melech oilam. And another thing that's interesting is when they, Chas and Kala, go into a house, it's brought down that there should be, that some people bring down that before they go in, they put in a glass tube of salt. It's discussion over here is like, why salt and what is good about salt? I'll call upon him, but I'd like to suggest perhaps the following thing. Why is it that Umas Ha'olam want honey in their korbanos, and we dafka don't want, and they hate salt, and we dafka don't want honey, and we like salt. So this idea is something, it's elaborated on something that I heard from Rav Noach Victor years ago, and he said that there's a difference between honey and salt are both things that are used when a person is preparing a dish. What's the difference between honey and salt? The difference is that when it comes to salt, what salt does is it doesn't alter the flavor at all. Salt enhances the flavor. Salt brings out a flavor. Salt doesn't change the flavor of anything. Salt is really, it helps the food, you know, bring out its fullest flavor, as opposed to sugar. Sugar is something that changes the flavor. If a person has something that's sour, add some sugar, it won't taste so sour anymore. The difference is as follows. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, it's not real. A person's looking for a shortcut. He's looking to kind of like cover up on who he really is and just try to make it sweet for me. Just make it sweet. When it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we want... we're going to be real about it because there's no shortcuts. There's no fake ways. There's no back. There's always looking for schoolers. Let's be real. Sugar is where I'm going to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu what I have. I'm going to try to bring out the best in me. So therefore that's what salt does. I'm not trying to give you something that I'm not. I'm not going to try to pretend that I'm someone that I'm not. I'm going to try to be the best that I can be. That's what the carbon that we're doing. When we bring a carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm saying, Hashem, this is who I am. And Hashem just takes us for who we are. We try to like be better, build on that. You know, try to be the best that you could be. But that's what it is. So we speak about a chassan and a kala. So salt is the epitome of a great Ezer Kenegdoi. That's what salt is. Salt is basically saying, I'm not going to change you. I'm going to bring out all of your good qualities. And perhaps that's what Tzdoim was all messed up about, because Tzdoim didn't want any Achnosis Orchim. It's like, listen, buddy, why should I give anything to you? You stay out of my life. And Eshes Loit was lacking in that midah of there to, in order to enhance someone else. It was not Achnosis Orchim in Tzdoim. And it could be that's why we throw salt at a chassan kala. We tell the chassan kala, you should always be trying to enhance each other's lives. You should be like salt, trying to enhance each other's lives. And that's why we put salt in a house before people go into a house. There's some people have that meaning. Why? Because this house should always be a place where I'm trying to enhance your life. It shouldn't be that I'm trying to take over, I'm trying to change you, I want you to take my flavor, but let's each one trying to think about the other in order to try to like make their life better. So Rabbi, so just to review, and then we're gonna introduce a special chassan kala that we have, Baruch Hashem. They got married just 2 days ago, but Avram Yeshaya Gruskin and his kala. But before we do, I would like to just chazra what we spoke about. We spoke about that there's a mandar that holds you could use sugar instead of salt. We said, well, it depends on what the reason is, why you have salt. Is it because of the fact that the Bnei Sosra says, because you need a daimim? And we said that salt doesn't seem to be a daimim, it grows on a sugar cane. Or we say the reason is because Avodah Zarah doesn't like honey, it likes salt. We said it doesn't seem like that reason would work either exactly. And the third reason that we gave was because of the fact that it's not normal to have meat without salt. The salt, it has to have some sort of flavor. The salt brings out the flavor. You can't put shvach amida on a Kodesh Baruch Hu's. Any of those reasons don't seem to work with sugar. Al-Kopanim, we said it. We said a chakira whether or not salt is there to prepare. It's there to be machshir the carbon, or it's a chelak of the carbon. We said in the Rambam, it's mashma. It's two different things. Whether it's talking about a mincha or whether it's talking about a regular carbon. A mincha, it seems to be that it's being machshir. When it comes to a regular carbon, it seems like it's actually just the akrav itself. We said because of different reasons. Maybe both reasons are true. The reason of the Rambam, which is Avodah Zarah, brings chametz, that's for mincha. The reason of the Bnei Yisoscha, which says you want all the chalakim of the bria, that's for a regular korban. And the two different reasons are really both true in different places. Then we spoke about the fact that there's different halachas. For example, the Chassam Sofer on Friday night did not dip in salt, that's for sure. And the reason was, because maybe he didn't even have it at the table, maybe he did, because there's no din al-kol korban chatakriv melach on Friday night. And the Trumas Hadeshin didn't dip his matzah on the Leil HaSeder because there's no din Leil Shimurim LaHashem. They use the different reasons in order to be matzah in different cases. Every person should follow his own minig, my friend, and what he does. Then we spoke about a chassan kala should be like salt. Chosn Doime Lemelach, even though it says Chosn Doime Lemelach, means he's Doime to a king, but there's also Doime Lemelach, which means like salt, which is you should try to enhance, not try to change. These are my thoughts on this week's parasha. Thank you so much for listening.